Good morning. Great to see every one of us looking good in our homes, in our home selves, and wherever it is we're currently watching this broadcast. I bring you God's word this morning, and please turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10, as I read from verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Sorry, media, can I have amplified version if you do? The thief cometh only but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. The Amplified Version says the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. To the full till it overflows. And so this morning we'll be considering the title, The Overflow. The Overflow. Like I'd read, the plan of God for us is different from the plan of the enemy. The plan of the enemy is destruction. Destruction. To steal from us. From the joy we have, from the peace we have, the plan of the enemy is to steal out of it. But the Bible says the plan of God. That's Jesus speaking. Said, I have come that you will have what? Life. And have it more abundantly. And like the Amplified Version says, till it gets to the overflow. And so, again, we'll be looking at the title, The Overflow. This is a time to thrive and not to survive. Oh, yes, there are terrible times, challenging times, but it didn't just come like that. Let's take a look into the Bible to see a background to what is happening. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. If the media gets it before me, I'd just like an overview from verse 3, Matthew chapter 24. The Bible says, now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the ages? If you read further from there to verse 13, you will see the many signs that we see now. The Bible talked about pestilences, which is an outbreak, a major outbreak, such as we're experiencing now, a pandemic. So these things can amaze people in the world and say, hey, how come the world came to a standstill suddenly? Everywhere was locked down. People could no longer do economic activities the way they would do normally. These are the signs, and we can see it. It says nations will rise against nations. We have seen that happen. Countries against countries, kingdoms against kingdoms. And so, it gives us an impression of what is happening now. But because we are children of the promise, even though there is a pestilence, there is a bigger promise for us, and that is an overflow. Beloved, looking at this chapter, Matthew chapter 24 from verse 3 to 13, it gives insight into what the world is going through. Like I said, but in spite of it, the overflow that we are supposed to experience as children of light is a description of an excess of abundance. Excess of abundance, running over. So even in this, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of contentions, in the midst of no financial gains coming in, businesses are folding up, people are shutting down. The health sector experienced a major turnaround. Doctors were working all through, nurses and everyone in the health sector trying to save lives because of the pandemic of COVID-19. But even at that, the word of God stands sure. The Bible says, but I have come to give you what? Life, and give it to you more abundantly. An overflow of life. Ah, wow. This period could be a period that we experience suddenly, just like it came. It just came, started somewhere around December. And then suddenly, it went through different countries, across regions, across continents. It could have evolved like that, just like it happened even in the Bible. And then, if you look at the life of the wife of the prophet that met with Elisha, and says, hey, man of God, you know that your son, the prophet, is gone. I have creditors already coming against me. Hey, what am I going to do? They're going to take away my sons. It happened. I can imagine that, possibly if the prophet was around, maybe he would have been able to do one or two things to cater for the family. But then suddenly, there was a development. Just like suddenly now, there is a development. But what happened? In the midst of it, plenty came. There was an overflow. Hey, the only time that oil stopped flowing was because there was no more jar to receive it. Right in the time of crisis. It could be that it had been with you for long. It didn't happen suddenly. You could have been going through a troubled time or a crisis time or a disruptive time for long. Just like the man that was by the pool of Bethsaida. The Bible recorded that he's been there for 38 years. 38 years of his life. He's been there waiting for help, hoping for help. That one day, when the angel comes to turn the water, I would be privileged to be the fastest to get in. But he never came. 38 years of his life. Until the help that was needed came. And Jesus asked him, you want to be saved? You want to be free? And he got his freedom. Got his freedom. Oh, it could have been a crisis or a problem that started from birth. We have another example. There was that man that was born blind. Imagine, even the disciples were asking Jesus, who committed this offense? Is it his father or is it his mother? This guy was born blind. It wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. And yet, he was in a crisis situation till he met with Jesus. And he got his help. Help is coming to somebody this morning in the name of Jesus. The overflow. Somebody is asking me, what is an overflow? So, I had decided that I'm going to just use this to illustrate to us what an overflow is. Now, for some of us, as we begin to journey in our life, we begin to experience God and we begin to receive feeling from God. And it takes us gradually blessing us and raising us to a new level in the course of our walk with Him. And then sometimes we have a standstill. And we stay in one point for a long time and hope that there would be a growth in our lives, a growth in our business, a growth in our marriage, a growth in our finances, a growth in our health. And then maybe while you are still struggling here, the enemy comes. Remember, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So sometimes you see the enemy come and steal away your joy. So they take out of the feeling that you have. And then gradually, you see your life begin to deplete. How many of us are going through this stage in our lives now. The pandemic has caused us to experience a whole new phase. It looked as if we're fast diminishing. Some people at this instance, at this time, are already going through depression. Why? The businesses they had built over time, because of these circumstances and challenges and crises, has come down crumbling. Their life begins to empty out. And some are already considering maybe it's time to commit suicide, because everything is emptying out. But remember, in the beginning of this year, he gave us a word. He gave us a word. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. If media can help me, I would like to just read from the screen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, God created man in his own image. So remember the first thing. He has created you in his own image. He says, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Next. And the Bible now goes forward and says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply till the earth, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so you are looking at your life is not representing what we just read. He says, be fruitful and multiply. But rather than multiplying, you are diminishing. And then you get to that stage, you became so empty. There was nothing anymore. And it looks like, where is God? And people will be giving you different advices. Some will be advising you, let us go to the mountain. Let us go and find the prophet there. Let us go to the valley. Let us go and seek help from the valley. But help is in God. The help you need is in Jesus, because there is an overflow. An overflow is coming straight at you in the name of Jesus. And so he steps in and begins to fill you up. And begins to fill you up. And he keeps filling you. And then you begin to shine. Your business begins to prosper. You have gotten married. You have moved into a house that is built by you. And your children are surrounding your table. And you continue to excel till you get to the brim. Now look at this. Now, at this stage, we have experienced the fullness of God. This cup is already full, filled to the brim. We have experienced the fullness. And then we begin to dance and rejoice. Just like he had promised, I have come to give you life and give you more abundantly. But remember, there is a word to that. It says, more abundantly. Now, at this stage, it is abundant. You are living in a life of abundance. Your health is abundant. Your family is abundant. Your spiritual life is abundant. You are growing steady. But beyond this stage is the stage where God wants each and every one of us to get to. And that is the stage of more abundantly, where he begins to pour and you overflow. And the cup, like you can see, this cup keeps running over and running over and running over, and it still receives freshness from the Master, the Creator, the God of heaven and earth. That is his promise and will for us. Overflow. Not stagnant. Progressive overflow. That is his promise. Oh, somebody is asking me this morning and saying, Pastor, where in my life am I even supposed to experience an overflow? Oh, I speak to you. In life itself, in the abundance of life, you need an overflow, and you will receive an overflow. Oh, when you live life in fullness of joy and grace, and men will ask you, what is the secret? There is trouble, but you are glowing. That is the precious grace of God upon your life. That is God's favor making impact in your life. A life of overflow. Oh, everybody is crying, but you are excited. You are rejoicing. Not because you have seen anything, but because you have a word that has been given unto you. He says, be fruitful and multiply. The multiplier effect is not an addition. Addition comes with one and then another and then another. In multiplication, it grows in a geometric progression. You can have a multiplier of 100.
You can have a multiplier of 5,000, tens of thousands, and your life begins to shine forth, and everyone can see it. Oh, there is going to be an overflow in your spiritual impact. It was such that the shadow of Paul was doing healing. Hey, that is the place where God will place each and every one of us. When our life begins to make impact such that we can lay hands on the sick and immediately they receive their healing, they receive their deliverance, and no one again begins to be afraid of evil. Why? Because the power of God that we carry makes the difference in us. Oh, overflow in finances. When people are saying there is nothing coming in, what are you getting? You are receiving transaction alerts. Not because you have done anything special, but because there is a grace that is upon you. A child of the promise you are. An overflow is coming your way this morning in the name of Jesus. Overflow in your health. No longer will you be visiting doctors. Oh, there are people there. There is somebody that is watching this morning. You have become a friend to the hospital. Whenever you come in again, they say, wow, you are welcome. No, you're no longer going to be welcome. If they are welcoming you, you are only coming to do a checkup. Because your life is going to turn around. Your health is going to turn around. There will be an overflow of the goodness of God upon your health this morning in the name of Jesus. I'm not stopping there. Even in procreation, it says be fruitful and multiply. And somebody is saying this morning, oh, you're talking about overflow, but I've been single. Now I'm married and I've not gotten any addition. Can you start dancing this morning? Because there is a word of promise to you this morning. Oh, you are going to receive triplets in the name of Jesus. This is not me. It is God speaking to you. If it were me, maybe I would be conceding just one. But God is saying this morning, it is triplet for somebody that is watching me this morning in the name of Jesus. Overflow. Overflow. Imagine somebody that had been barren for years, no child, and he gives birth, and you have come together to celebrate quadruplet or sextuplet. What more could he have asked for? What more could she have asked for? That is how God works when he wants to turn things around. Don't be that man that will be at the gate to say, even if this will happen, I don't ever think it can come true. The prophet said it. He said, by this time tomorrow, the Bible says the man on which the lays his hands upon the king, man that is waiting on the king, he looked at him and said, no, even if God himself will come down, this cannot happen. And the prophet told him immediately, you will see it, but you will not partake of it. Oh, there's somebody this morning. I don't want you to live in unbelief. Because this overflow is coming, and it is coming mightily. You only need to position yourself rightly to become a recipient of the overflow. So, let's take some time and look through some of the promises that we have in God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Now, I'm trying to create a background for this. As we take it further, you will understand why you need to know these promises. Because it's time for you to use the word to appropriate for your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. If you get it ahead of me, okay. The Bible says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 12. The Bible says, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations. You shall not borrow in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Okay. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. So the promises are there. Let's keep rolling. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 10. You need to write all this down, because you need these words. When the enemy wants to stare you in the face, you come up and you open the word and say, these are the promises I have. It says, fill up your barns. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Your barns will be filled with plenty. That is a word that encompasses largeness, plenty, and your vat will overflow. You will store and store and store, and you have more room to store, and then you store, and there's no more room again to store. You will open new places to store again. That is how God will begin to take somebody this morning. It will take you from a place of low level. It will take you to a higher level, to the highest level, and you become a level that sets the standard for other people, in the name of Jesus. Psalm 65, verse 11. Psalm 65, verse 11. Oh, the Bible says, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. You crown the year with your goodness. What is he saying? Ha, we didn't start this year very well. By March, we were already in trouble. Our business was already folding up. God is saying he's going to crown what? Your year with goodness. Begin to receive that crowning from this moment and receive abundance in your path in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. The Bible says, now may the God fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the New King James Version. Sorry, I want to read it again from my Bible here. Romans chapter 15. And I read verse 13. Now, may the God of hope, the God of hope, when hope is diminishing, when hope is fading around you, there is a God of hope. Trust in the God of hope. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. Your life will overflow with joy in the name of Jesus. It will fill you with all peace in the name of Jesus. The Bible says it will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these things don't come cheap. There is a place of sacrifice, and that is what exactly you will want to do. Your ability to open up, empty yourself, and allow God to fill you. And so we'll move to that next level. How to receive the overflow. Oh, I will quickly read again. 3 John chapter 2. I know a lot of us know this by heart. 3 John chapter 2. You have it there on the screen? 3 John chapter 2. Okay, let me check. So I read verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. You may prosper in what? In all things. The Bible didn't say you may prosper in your health, but not in your finances. It didn't say you may prosper in your business, but not with your child. It didn't say you may prosper in Lagos, but not in Ibadan. It says you may prosper in all things. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. And what? Be in health. Be in health is be in a healthy status all the days of your life. Your health will be fantastic, top notch. Nothing will be wrong with you. You can move every part of your body. Every body part in you will function properly. Your systems will function properly. Your cells will function properly. Your tissues will function properly in the name of Jesus. No longer will those cells of cancer be in your body in the name of Jesus. For the Lord will wipe it away. You will function in health. In your reproductive health, you will function. Everything that has been holding down conception, in the name of Jesus, this morning, we break it and release you to enjoy your reproduction in the name of Jesus. You will what? You will function well in your health. And it goes further. And it says, just as your soul. Just as your soul what? Prospers. Remember, man is spirit. He stays in the body and he has a soul. Now when his soul prospers, then man is prospering. And so you're going to allow your soul to prosper this morning because the word of God says so. So let's begin to see, how do I receive the overflow? The first step to receiving the overflow is to become a son or a daughter in the kingdom. And turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And it says, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters with the Lord. We'll be sons and daughters, saith the Lord. When you become a son and a daughter in the kingdom, you are established to receive the overflow. You cannot receive from somebody you have not given to. Luke chapter 6 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Now, it goes forward to say, good measures, pressed down, shaking together, running over. I'm coming back to that because the overflow means running over, overflowing. But it says, give and it shall what? Be given unto you. The first gift you need to give is the gift of your life. Have you given your life to Christ? Have you parted your ways with sin? Are you holding on to the load of sin? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and let me give you rest. He says, his yoke is easy. His yoke is easy. When you carry God's yoke, it's as if you are carrying nothing. It's so light, it's so easy to carry. He says, his yoke is easy. Come unto me. Why are you laboring with sin? Why are you struggling? Come to me. Let me give you what? Life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So for you to get everlasting life, you need to give your own life now. You'll give your life to Christ. Give and it shall be given to you. The Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 10, it says, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life. So as you are giving your life, you are receiving your life back in return, and you are receiving it with abundance. That is an overflow. That is an overflow. You become a son or a daughter in the kingdom. The next is faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. And I wrote here, faith above fear. Faith above fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we begin to weep. Why? Because we are scared. We are only walking in the shadow. We have not even seen the fear. We have not even seen the death. We're already having fear mounting upon us. No longer will you fear. Fear is false evidence that appears real. When they tender an evidence before the law court, one of the things the court does is to confirm that it's genuine. Because they don't want a false evidence. Because you're going to use it as a basis for judgment. False evidence appearing real. That is fear. But faith overcomes. Faith subdues fear. Hey, this is not the time to continue to listen to the news. Listen to the word. Listen to the word. The news will come with many bad information. Oh, thousands of souls have died again, have been perished and buried. But
The word of God stands sure and it says, I have come to give you life and give you more abundantly. So you should be excited. Read the word, not the news. Read the word. Oh, it was projected that because of this crisis, the world economy would be having a shrinkage to the value of about $8.8 trillion. But is that going to affect the kingdom economics? No. Everyone that God has positioned to bless, he will continue to bless. There are people who are making money in this season. In this very disruptive season, there are people who are making money. There are people who are growing economically. Their business suddenly met a trajectory. A trajectory they didn't believe would ever come. Positioning with God. Maybe when God was telling somebody, it's time to go and buy machines to sew, the person didn't understand. The person was busy looking for where to work. Was telling him, buy a machine, it's time to sew. But now, we can see, a lot of people are sewing. They are sewing money noon and night. To even meet up with the demand, you have to sew those nose masks. Even in places where they are doing it in thousands and thousands of pieces, they have people working, they are sewing day and night to make sure that they can meet with the demand. God will create a demand for you in the name of Jesus. Where there is no need, there won't be a miracle. But when a need comes, you will see a miracle. That is the reflection of what happened in the life of the widow. The widow of Zarephath. When Elijah came to her, Elijah said, please, can I get water to drink? When he got water, he said, can I get food to eat? Hey, this woman would have looked and said, why are you so wicked? Aren't you aware that there is famine in the land? And so the little that I have kept that I would cook. I'm gathering sticks so that I can cook it and then prepare it. And my sons will join me to eat and then we will give up and die. But the place of faith, I've not seen, because I should be asking myself, how come the woman trusted so much in the man of God that something was going to happen? Even though, if you look at it critically, it doesn't change anything. If she hits, she's still going to die. If she doesn't hit, she's going to die. So maybe she just thought in her mind, why not just leave it for the man of God? At least let him get one little dose and feel free. And the man of God ate and blessed her. And she never lacked. She never lacked. She never lacked. That is the place of faith. Faith takes you from a level that is this low to this level where you can trust God completely. But why will you trust him? The promises are there. That is why you will trust him. The promises are in his word. We need not to worry. We need not to be afraid. Faith above fear. Will you believe? That is the question to you this morning. Next, again, is we should seek God first. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not some of these things. It's not a little of these things. All these things. So every sphere of your life, you're going to be enjoying the grace of God. You're going to be enjoying the favor of God. You're going to be enjoying the mercies of God. You're going to be enjoying the goodness of God. In the name of Jesus. Seek God first. And that was what the widow did. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's look at verse 8. And the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going,
to get it, the Bible recorded, he called her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." But let's read further. Listen to what Elijah said to her. "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." The Bible reads further to say, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the heart. Go and do for me first. Seek God first." Listen to him. Irrespective of the fact that you have your last 1,000 naira, but he was speaking to you this morning. He says, "Give it." Oh, you are saying, "God, are you not thinking about this? This is the last 1,000. If I give it out now, that means I'm going to remain hungry." He's saying, "Give it. Give it. Seek God first. Seek to do his will first and see what follows. Seek to do his will first. It's difficult, right? It's not going to come easy. But look at it. Even when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, didn't God show up? He showed up. Even for the widow, God showed up. She made for the man of God, and she never lacked anymore. Oh, somebody's jar of oil will never run dry in the name of Jesus. Your jar of oil will never run dry. But remember, seek God first and do his will. And the next thing to receive the overflow is you have to sow what you have. You have to sow what you have. There is something in your hand. There is that fish. There is that bread that Jesus will need to bless. Now, if you withhold it, you're not going to get a blessing. Now, look at the young boy, even though his name was never recorded. But we know that there was a boy. Wherever the boy is now, his name, even though not mentioned, is there written in the annals of history. When Jesus looked at the multitude, "We're not going to send these people away hungry. Is there anything we can find? Oh, we can only find these little pieces of fishes and bread." And he blessed it. And they started sharing. And they shared and shared and shared to thousands of people. And they ate and they were filled. And they took back in return excess. But when you withhold, hey, there is he that scattereth and receives more. But there is he that withholds and goes into penury. At this season, this is your season of sowing. When you sow at this season, you will reap in multiple folds. You will reap in thousands of folds and tens of thousands of folds in the name of Jesus. So what do you have? There must be something in your hand for God to bless. There was that flour. There was that jar of oil that the prophet needed to speak God's word. And then it never ran dry. The same thing happened even to the widow that had an encounter with Elisha. He said, "Go and bring your jar and begin to fill it with oil. Go and gather more. As you fill, the Lord continued to bless. As they were filling, it was being blessed. And they kept filling and filling and filling till there was no more, because she couldn't get any more. But there should be something that is going to bless. That little boy had something in his hands. He had bread and he had fish that Jesus was going to bless. This morning, what do you have in your hand? There must be something you should be doing at this time for God to bless, for you to receive the overflow. Don't just stay. Don't be the one that will stay at home and they will be sending errand. Please, when the rain is falling, help us to remove the clothes, because you are the only man at home. The Lord is going to change your situation this morning. But get up. Go and do something. Go and find something to do. Get creative. Anything you can do, even if it's for you to write, even if it's for you to draw, if it's for you to pick a few amount of money and begin to buy and sell, just do something. Let God find something in your hand to bless, in the name of Jesus. This is a season to stop wastage. Anyone that will receive overflow cannot be wasting. It doesn't happen. There is no way God wants to fill you up to overflow. But whereas you have wasted everything, you poured it entirely out. Waste is not acceptable at this time, because in the kingdom, there is no room for waste. God blesses people who are able to manage what He provides for them. Then He gives them more. Just like the parable of the talents. The man that went to heed his own, went to hide it, he didn't get anything. But the man that took it, went and did business, came back receiving additional. And that is how God will make you, in Jesus' name. You are going to receive additional support, additional resources, in the name of Jesus. We're blessed to become blessings. This is a time to give, and give cheerfully. Become a source of blessing to other people all around. Support families that you can support. Support individuals you can support. If there's anyone you can make any provision for, this is the time to be a blessing to others. You are blessed that you might become a blessing. You can read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. Oh, and in closing, I read God's word in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Again, the prophet Elijah. And I read from verse 41. 1 Kings chapter 18, I read verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." Hallelujah. The sound of abundance is coming to your homes in the name of Jesus. The sounds of abundance is coming to your health in the name of Jesus. The sounds of abundance is coming to your family in the name of Jesus. No longer will you lack in the name of Jesus. Seven times the messenger went. He said, "I didn't see anything." The prophet said, "Go again." And he said, "I saw cloud that looks so small like the hand of a man." And thereafter, rain came. Abundance of rain is coming upon each and every one of us this morning in the name of Jesus. There is an overflow, and each and every one of us will bless exceedingly. For in this season, even though there is pestilence, the Lord will bless and multiply you exceedingly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Good morning. God bless you all.